Speaking of our money, that which belongs to us, and the prospect of keeping more of it, we welcome again Carla Howell, the courageous woman behind Vote Yes on Number One, an effort for each of us to keep a little bit more, or actually a considerable amount, of what we earn without any of the plague and locusts described to us by some of the very, very dishonest and disingenuous people on the other side. Carla Howell, welcome back.
Good afternoon, Jay. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. And I continue to hear, wherever I hear anything, I hear it's going to take, you know, virtually half of the state budget away. And, of course, it's Dickensian. I keep hearing these, you know, it's like the opponents, the unions want me to think of Oliver Twist being starved and beaten,
right,
in a medieval, not medieval, but a mid-19th century orphanage. This is the picture they're trying to paint.
Absolutely. I had a rough and tumble debate with Peter Mead on Egan and Browdy
this
afternoon,
as
you know. And there's, amongst the many misconceptions, lies, I will dare say, that Peter Mead continues to repeat, and the No-on-One people continue to repeat in their ads and elsewhere. In addition to the lie about the total state spending, it's $47 billion. They keep trying to pretend it's 28 or 32. It's 47, and their 47% is based on a positively false, documented, provably false number. That's not the number. It's $47 billion that the state's spending, plus $22 billion the towns are spending. That's, keep in mind, just the cities and towns, that's your big dig spending right there every year.
Plus they keep saying that the property, this is the big boogeyman in this, is that property taxes will automatically, and that's the word they're using, automatically go
automatically
up.
Automatically. They like to claim that everything's non-discretionary. Oh, we can't cut that because we don't want it. And we can't cut that because we don't want to cut that either. So that only leaves $5 over there left that we can cut. And, you know, it's $5 billion is all that they give of the $47 billion in aid to city and town governments. And we pay $12.5 billion in income tax. So even if they cut that whole thing off, gee, wouldn't we be better off? But
now,
I really
say that again. The amount that we give, because, again, their entire argument, their opposition, hinges on the belief that there's going to be immediate, disastrous, hyper-local catastrophe if the amount that the state gives, that state income tax, that's diverted to cities and towns. Yet the truth is,
the truth is that only about 10% of the total state budget goes in subsidies to the city and town governments. The cities and towns spend 27, they get 5 of that, 19% from the state. They still have $22 billion that they raise on their own from property taxes, auto excise taxes, fees, hotel taxes, rental taxes, lottery proceeds, and other fees and taxes.
So we're saying at the end of the day that in a worst-case scenario, a given community might have to come together and say one out of $10 that the state government has been giving us, we have to find a way to economize with.
That's right. One in $10 that they spend goes to their pals in the city and town governments. A lot of it doesn't go back to you, of course, and your town has plenty of money. Even if they got nothing from the state, that probably wouldn't even be enough to wipe out the waste in the typical city and town government in Massachusetts. The cities and towns are not as wasteful as the state government is. The state government is just...
Well, as is always the case, you know, those closest to us and most answerable
right
to us directly. So,
but
Carla Howell, where are we as of today? Any further developments or evolutions?
Well, one of the things that I really think is important to talk about, I want to set the record straight on a lie, if I can't think of a better word, that I keep hearing out of the mouths of our opponents, the spokespersons, Peter Mead, prior executive for Blue Cross Blue Shield, married to a former president of the Massachusetts Teachers Association. No surprise there. The Teachers Union is the biggest funder of the No on One campaign. And from Michael Widmer, who's with the so-called Massachusetts Taxpayer Foundation, an unregistered corporate lobby group that represents large financial corporations and others who profit from high government spending.
And by the way, much as I admire what teachers do, I can only imagine, I mean, having run a lot of these campaigns and also being something of a grown-up, I can imagine what the teachers union is telling their employees. You know, this is where your raises come from. You know, this is where all these boosts that we want are going to come from. So make sure that you vote for yourself. It's not about the children. This is about the teachers.
But of course, that's never what they say publicly.
Right.
And the thing, though, that is really, I think, worth talking about here is these alleged businesses. You know, Peter Mead is saying every business organization is against question one. Well, the so-called every business organizations, for instance, that I just named, Massachusetts Taxpayer Foundation, very vested interest in high government spending. Associated Industries of Massachusetts, vested interests are tied to a lot of these high-tech and life science firms that are getting handouts and subsidies from the government. Very interesting woman came on after I was on the air to say that she's quitting her membership because she didn't know that her own organization had come out against question one, and she's trying to make her payroll and pay her workers good benefits. They can't afford pensions, but in the government sector, there's these enormous pensions and health care benefits being handed out. So she was very put off by that.
Exactly. Most citizens are, no, I'm sorry, the citizens who are members of special interest groups are getting taken from them money to fight this. And if it and if and when it passes, they'll have in their pocket way more money and by more appropriate means. You know,
yes.
that if they shouldn't be fighting it, they're paying for it at both ends.
Yes. And so, but what he also wanted to just ignore and talk over was the fact that the Wall Street Journal editorial has endorsed a yes on question one. Steve Forbes, Forbes magazine, has endorsed yes on one, and he likes to pretend there's no respectable businesses that support ending the income tax in Massachusetts. But the small businesses, the working people, many people listening right now, I'm sure, are saying, of course, I'm a small business person. I'm struggling like mad to pay for payroll and keep up with all the regulations in Massachusetts and the high taxes and the crushing health care insurance that I'm forced to pay. Of course, many of these, a vast majority of them who are not tied to government, want this tax cut very much. And but the point I really want to make here is that among the handouts, amongst the government waste that we've been hearing about this year, is a $1 billion handout to multi-billion-dollar pharmaceuticals. Basically, it went into a slush fund where Governor Patrick can hand it out to whatever company he feels like being friendly to. And this is the opponents allege that this creates jobs. Well, this does not create jobs. It just spends our money and takes away from the jobs we would spend on that money. But it's even worse than that, because where the real job growth happens is in small businesses. And the primary funder of small businesses is family money.
Absolutely.
People keeping the money they earn. And the Fortune 500 in this country have had net zero growth. The real growth is in small businesses, and that comes from people being able to keep the money they earn, keep it in their own family budget, being able to loan it to relatives who have a good idea for a new product or want to put up a shingle and start a business. That's where we need to put that money to rejuvenate the Massachusetts economy, especially as we head into uncertain financial times.
And Carla, as much of an ignoramus as I am about economics, I understand two things. I understand that there are immediate needs that I have with my family, that if all of a sudden I had an additional several thousand dollars, as everyone listening to this show will have if we succeed in killing the state income tax, well, there will be no moral outrage. No one who is needy will do without anything, and that is a fact. Number two, I have family needs, as everyone listening does. In fact, maybe they're selfish. Maybe it's a vacation. Maybe it's setting the money on fire. It's my money. And that's what we've forgotten, what we've been brainwashed into forgetting. Everyone has family needs. And the notion that somehow, no, you don't want $4,000, $5,000, $6,000, $10,000 back. You want that to be run through state government first and then come back to you. We only end up with a tiny fraction of it. It's not spent for us. The notion that anybody can more effectively spend thousands of dollars that belong to you is absurd on its face. The notion that here's $4,000, which is the sort of average of what average people would get back. And again, people listening to this show, $10,000. Here's $10,000. Now, who will make the best decisions about how and when to spend that for your family? Your family or fat guys in bad suits at the state capitol? It is an outrage philosophically as well as practically. We thank Carla Howell. We welcome her back. Vote yes on number one. It's something we can do. It's the most important vote, at least in Massachusetts, that we can make.